As I thought about what I'd share tonight, I'm a little bit awestruck to think this is the Sunday night before elections. And the Lord laid a psalm on my heart, Psalms 2, which talks, it's a messianic psalm, but it describes the society in which we live. And it gives us an idea of what our reaction should be, how we should live, being missionaries in Allegheny, New York, or Perugia, Italy, what we should be, and with what confidence we can share the gospel and be a witness and a light for the Lord. So I'd like to read this psalm to us, and then we'll look into it together. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The king of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us." He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, "As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell the decree. The Lord said to me, 'You are my son. Today have I begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now, therefore, kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him." Heavenly Father, we ask in these moments together you would teach us from your word. May we be submissive and ready to receive what you have for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Why do the heathen rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the world rulers take counsel together against the Lord, saying, and against his anointed, saying, "Let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cord from us." What verses could better describe the society in which we live? A society that is on the verge of electing a person who wants to kill babies. It's bad enough, abortion anytime, but a minute before they are born, kill those babies. Where is our society? You know, as Christians, and I know that, we are the only people who no longer have the right to express our opinion. Anybody could say anything they want. But if one of us says, "Well, the Lord says," no, you can't do that. We do not have the right to express our opinion. And that's the world we live in. The world, a world which is plotting against God. They don't want to be under him at all. They don't want to be responsible to him. All this back when evolution started, why evolution? Well, if there's no creator, there's no one to whom we are responsible. And then from many other, the institution of marriage, the family, everything has been thrown over because those are antiquated rules that God set down in his word. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? They think they are so clever. So clever. Against the Lord, Jehovah, and against his anointed, Messiah, saying, "Let us burst their bonds apart, cast away their cords from us." We no longer want to be submissive to them. Even a country like America, that was founded on biblical principles. Many of the early pilgrims came because they wanted religious freedom. They were not free in their home countries, so they gave up everything to be able to worship God the way they wanted to here in America. And now we're at a place where you can't sing "God Bless America," where you can't salute the flag because it's "In God We Trust." You can't do that. That's our world. That's the world of rebellion that we are called to minister to. We're called to go in there, the gospel. How do you have the courage to do that when the cards are all stacked against you before you go? They don't want you. It's not like they're out there saying, please come and tell us about the gospel. They're not saying that. They hate God. Does that mean we have to crawl in a shell and wait for the Lord's coming? No. The second part of the psalm explains our sovereign God. Who is it that saved us, that called us, that redeemed us? He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I, Jehovah, I have set my king, the Son, on Zion, my holy hill. All the discussion about Israel, that land is God's land. A thought that struck me this furlough more than ever before, even the gay movement with the rainbow, what a terrible thing, taking God's sign. The rainbow is called God's sign that he gave to Noah. Taking God's sign and making such a terrible meaning out of it. As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. We worship a sovereign God who laughs at this situation. Who do these people think they are? Who do they think they are? A God who knows the end from the beginning. A God who knows, and he will give us maybe what we deserve. Our nation has rejected him. As for me, God says, for my part, I've set my king, the Messiah, on Zion, my holy hill. For God, it's as though Jesus was already reigning from Jerusalem. He does not have the end or the beginning, past, present, future. For him, it's all clear. And we need to have that same vision. Trust him for the future. Trust him in a situation that's so uncertain, so destabilizing, so discouraging. Trust him. He has it all planned out. And the fact that we have put our trust in him, the sovereign God, makes our own future secure in him. Are we praying about the election? Oh, yeah. Are we worried about it a little bit? Is God in control? Yes, he is. And he will be in control on Wednesday the 9th. He will be in control. Verse 7 says, I will tell of the decree the Lord said to me. And here is the Son speaking. The Lord, Jehovah, the Father, said to me, you are my Son. Today have I begotten you. And we see this over in Hebrews, referring to the glorification of Jesus at his resurrection. You're my Son. This day have I declared you to be such. Our future is secure because our faith is in the Lord. Today have I begotten you. Ask of me, the Father is saying to the Son, ask of me, I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. Does that sound familiar with think about mission, the ends of the earth? What did Jesus say to his disciples? Go and make disciples to the ends of the earth. Now, we're not going to bring in the kingdom. We know that. But in this time, as we wait for God to accomplish his purposes in this world, he has called us to be witnesses, to be taking the gospel to that world that hates God. And deep down, it hates us if we love God. It really does. We're called to take the gospel there. And the Father says to the Son, I will make the nations. These are all the peoples that are not part of God's chosen people, Israel. I will make those as well your inheritance. Have you read the prophecies that in the Old Testament talk about the Assyrians and the Egyptians? worshiping Jehovah together with the Jews. That's going to happen someday. That's going to happen. I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. Our future is secure. We are certain in him. And then he says, the Father says to the Son, you shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like potter's vessel. That doesn't sound like some Herbert Milquetoast Jesus that talks over a feminist way in some of these movies. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is going to reign with a rod of iron. His reign will be over the earth, and it will be a solid, solid reign. In fact, the word Lord could be translated despot. Absolute ruler. That's the Lord Jesus. That's what he's going to be. Well, meanwhile, as it's not happening yet, according to what we can see, what is our job? Here's our message, the last part of this psalm. Repentance and faith. We can go in the face of the most wicked ruler and say, you need to repent. Just like the Apostle Paul did. He gave up his life for that, but he did it. I'm reading a book about the Holocaust, and you think of the wickedness in that time period. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse someday. But we as God's children, we can go in the face of these people and say, you must repent and believe in Jesus. Now, therefore, O kings, be wise. Don't be foolish. You think you're running things? You think you're deciding what's going to happen in this world? Be wise. Be warned. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. And you know, when we come to faith and we come to realize what the Lord has accomplished for us, how that changes things. Serve the Lord with fear. With fear. Now, this fear is a fear of his majesty, his greatness, his power. We recognize our smallness, how insignificant we are. But we serve him out of love as we serve him out of fear. And we should never be so familiar with the Lord that we forget that he is a righteous and a holy God. He will not support sin. And we as God's people, I start with the local church, I think of my local church, we cannot support sin. Just, well, that's all right. Free world today. No, God is a righteous God and a holy God, and he wants his people to live a life of holiness as well. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Even when we rejoice and we praise God for his faithfulness, his calling in our lives. We've been made a part of his family. When we rejoice with that, we should always rejoice with trembling, realizing how far we are from anyone who could have merited anything like this. We can never say, God is so lucky he got me in on his team. No, we didn't merit it. Trembling because we recognize always his righteousness and his holiness. He didn't owe it to us to save us. Kiss the Son. Now, in the Oriental culture, in our culture in Italy, a kiss is a sign of respect. In fact, when you come visit our church, you can't come in the church and you can't leave without a brotherly kiss. That's the way it is. It's a sign of respect. It's a sign of love, but it's a sign of respect. And he's saying, respect the Son. Acknowledge him for who he is, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. When I see this phrase, I think of the Italian movie, The Godfather, you know, the mafia kiss and so on. It was a sign of respect. We say, show respect for the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. It's a call for repentance. And this is what we can't change people's hearts. They're dead set against God. They're rebelling against God. They hate God. But we can plead with them to repent because judgment is coming. Lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. And then he closes as though we were still in the first psalm. Blessed are all those who take refuge in him. You want happiness? You want joy? Find your refuge in the Lord. Don't get all consumed by the mess this world's in. Find your refuge in the Lord. And that is our concern as we go back to Italy. On Thursday, we fly out of Rochester. And that is your concern as you witness for the Lord in a very religious culture here in Allegheny, New York. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the certainty that your word gives us of your calling in our lives, of your sovereignty, of the fact that you have a purpose that you are accomplishing in the world, and you ask us to be faithful testimonies of that fact. Bless this church, I pray. I thank you so much for them, for their kindness to us in so many ways. And in these years that we will be gone, that you'll just bless them and encourage them in you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.